Hey everyone, that's Sniper Twins and their famous hit Computer Friends.
Well, and how ironic is that, because we're friends and we're on a computer.
Right, right. That's why I picked it.
Oh,
that's
my
why
gosh.
I picked it, yeah. Hey everyone, it's let me pause that song. It's Sunday morning, about 11 a.m. Sunday, August 29th, 2010, and you are listening to Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. Jeff, we're up to episode 3. If you can believe it.
Every week, Jeremy, we're beating the odds. It's unbelievable. We've done it again, another week in the books. And should we share with our listeners, the fantastic news about the downloads?
You can. I'm going to share it in just a second. I'm trying to adjust the levels, but no, I think we sound good. This is actually the second time that we're broadcasting live.
And for our fans from last week, you'll know that was a bit of a debacle starting out, so we do apologize for all of you that were left out last week, but we think we've got it fixed.
Right, right. Okay, cool.
But back to the downloads. We had, for show episode number one...
Yes, episode number one, we had over 100... Over 100 people tuning in, and you know, episode 2 is picking up. Episode 1 obviously has been around there longer, so you know, there's going to be more opportunities for episode 1 than for episode 2. But no, you know, it's growing, and of course, you can always listen live every Sunday. At least it's been for the past 3 Sundays. We've been fairly consistent. If you go to radioshowonline.com and click on the headphones, which indicates listening.
And that was good for people like me who do well with objects, don't do so well with words.
Right.
That's been very helpful. But this is a real number. Now, a lot of things we say on the show aren't true.
Yeah.
But I have to do a little disclaimer here. Absolutely true, over 100 downloads. So my goal is, let's do 110 next week.
Okay.
Are you in?
I'm up for it. I'll just download it 10 more times than I did this time.
We'll cover that either way.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Well, good to be back here. Great Sunday in Cleveland, Ohio. Fantastic weekend. I know you were out and about. I had some pretty interesting things happen this weekend.
Do you want to start?
Yeah, I got to start with this big news.
Okay.
This is huge news. So hopefully a lot of you are fans of the movie The Christmas Story. It's obviously a classic movie nationally, but it's got a lot of Cleveland connections.
Yes.
You've seen this many times.
I've seen it.
So I was out at a party in Tremont last night, and some friends at this party did a scavenger hunt throughout the city during the day.
Yeah.
One of the stops, the scavenger hunt, was at the Christmas Story House, which is over on the south side of Tremont.
Right.
And at the Christmas Story House was the actor who played Randy, the younger of the two brothers in The Christmas Story.
Ralph, the one that hid underneath the sink.
Yes.
And did all that. Okay.
Yep. Randy.
Okay.
Randy, the actor. Now, this it's pretty funny. This guy, Randy, is living as part of a promotion with The Christmas Story House. He's actually living in the house through August, and then he just recently re-upped. They had some contract discussions. He re-upped. He will be living in the house up until early January through the holiday season, as part of a way to publicize a house, get people to come visit. So he was at this scavenger hunt. He was part of the hunt, and they talked to him, and they said, hey, he explained that he's living in an apartment in the house. Have you been through the house?
Yeah, I've been through.
Now, I was through earlier as well, and you know that a lot of the furniture is fake, and I was very determined to really explore this house. If you go into the bedrooms and you pull up, there's blankets on the beds, like they're single beds.
Yeah.
You pull up the blankets, and there's just like literally springs. So I thought the weather obviously not sleep. They kind of ruined it for me. I went away.
That's where he sleeps.
Well, I said that can't be comfortable for you, Randy. And his name's really not Randy. Oh, well, I should get into this later. But I did end up seeing him later in the night. But anyway, they don't sleep on that. There's a separate apartment in the back of the house where actually someone can live, and there's real functioning appliances.
Oh, and that's not part of the tour. That's
not
like
part of the
secret.
Tour. It's actually, it says do not enter.
Okay. I've seen that door.
Yeah, that's where the secret apartment is.
Right.
Anyway, fast forward, scavenger hunt. I kind of blew it a little bit earlier. But these girls were there, and they talked to this guy, Ian. Ian is his real name, but he played Randy. And they invited him over to a party we were going to last night, which was maybe a half mile away from the Christmas Story house. She gave Ian, a.k.a. Randy, her number, and didn't think he would see him, but she offered. Anyway, he shows up at the party last night, comes over. We were all pretty amazed, and we went to a bar with us. We walked to Edison's. He stayed out with us from like 11 to 2 in the morning, and buying drinks for each other, talking about the Christmas Story house. Really unbelievable, and we got to just kind of quiz him on everything about the movie. And now, interesting, I guess Peter Billingsley, who played the older brother.
Yeah.
He's gone on to some pretty decent success behind the camera. He's actually good friends with Vince Vaughn. He's directed a number of movies. And so I asked Randy, I said, has he hooked you up at all?
Yeah.
Is your boy, your older brother Ralphie.
Right.
Apparently Ralphie's really a jerk.
Really?
Does not hook him up. And, you know, that to me is insulting because I know Ian. I got to know him for at least an hour last night. I feel like I know him very well now. How could you not want to give that guy work? He's a good guy. You obviously, they've got a lot of history together, but apparently Ralphie has not been so kind to his little brother.
So I'm confused. So he's just staying in the house as part of some promotion. How long is he there?
Well, originally it was just supposed to be for the summer, and it was if you go to the Christmas Story House website, which I
know we'll post on our website because we do that for our listeners.
Okay, so now we have to do that. No, Christmas Story House website. Okay,
they're going to hold us to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you do that, you'll see that it was part of a promotion to get people to come in. He was actually there. It was supposed to end, and this week was supposed to be up. But then it was going so well, and he was having a good time in Cleveland,
yeah,
that he said, why don't I stay through the holiday season when it really picks up with business? So, of course, I went into sometimes I can't help this. I immediately started selling Cleveland to him.
Yeah.
Don't you love it here?
You were the tour. You were the tour guide.
And people were with me. We were kind of laughing because I immediately go into the, you should live here. Here's why the city's great. And he was agreeing on a lot of it. He said it's unfortunate some of the characterizations aren't necessarily true, and he's been here for a couple months, and he said, yeah, you know, it's a great town, and he wants to actually maybe do some production work here.
Wow.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing, I think. But,
well, there has been a pickup in production of movies and stuff here in town, and like there's a couple, like the film commission's been really good with getting some new productions here to tape in town, so... Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, and actually, if you go to Great Lakes Brewery, the Cleveland Film Office is right there.
Yeah.
There's an office right there that's trying to promote that. So maybe we can get them together. But also, more importantly, I said, Randy, or Ian, a.k.a. Randy, is there any way we can get you on our Tremont Fall football team? You don't have a lot of friends around here. You're living in that creepy house right. In the neighborhood. You're literally minutes from the Clark Fields where we play. How about we commit you right now, sign you up for our Tremont Fall football team? And he said, you know what? I'm not an athlete, but I want to be involved.
That's what I said, too, when you asked me.
But you weren't involved yet. You really figured it out.
I know.
But, yeah, so we've got a tentative commitment from Randy from the Christmas Story, which I think will really help our clubhouse. It may not help us on the field, but I think it'll really help us maybe on the sidelines, maybe bring some orange slices.
Is he going to wear the bunny suit?
I have a feeling he's not going to be up for that, but yeah. I'm not going to rule it out.
Yeah.
Maybe if we went undefeated.
Were people calling him, like, Ralphie all night?
Well, yeah, Randy. Yeah, because
Randy.
Yeah, yeah. It was going back and forth between Randy and Ian. Yeah. I think he prefers Ian. That was the feeling I was getting. But yet I wanted to call him, you know, Randy. I mean, this is a big thing for me, just growing up with that movie. It's just unbelievable to have him hanging out in Tremont, literally with nothing to do other than see people coming to the house every day.
Yeah.
That's his life for 5 months.
Is he like in the bed? Does he wear the pink bunny suit when he's at the house?
Yeah, you really focus on that bunny suit. Is this a fantasy?
I actually have my own bunny suit.
I mean, if you want, I can maybe arrange that.
Let's go there now. I mean, we can broadcast from the house.
I think he might need some work, so I think there's a price for what you're looking for.
He should be on this show.
You know what? Do we have an extra headset?
No.
The budget has not been so kind.
These might not even be working. This might be sounding really bad, but we don't have anyone in the chat room. Hey, if you're listening live, go to radioshowonline.com and click on the chat section and join the legions of fans currently hanging out in the Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy chat room.
Speaking of chat room. This is an unbelievable story.
I know it is. It's so unbelievable.
Especially when I build it up like that. I was out to dinner with some friends, you know, nice relaxing weeknight, getting a good deal, had a couple drinks,
yeah.
A couple cocktails,
yeah.
And a couple comes over to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't know them. And I said, wow, I thought, are they approaching me? You know, I didn't know if they were coming over to see me.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, Jeff, you know, my name's Kristen. This is Matt. We just want to say this is our first date. We met in your chat room on Sunday.
That is an unbelievable story. It's so unbelievable that I don't know if I believe it.
We talked about how the power of the Jeff and Jeremy Radio Show chat room. Israel, Palestine, some of the tensions over there, maybe Iran even.
I don't know. I would like to see
us maybe get into some more serious issues. You know, I'm all for getting people together, couples. Like this couple, they're having a great first date.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, it was our love of your show that brought us together. And that made me feel good. And then they bought me a drink. And it was just, there was no downside to this.
So you're saying like our chat room could bring together like Jews and Palestinians?
I think that could unite in our chat room. Is that a bad goal?
No, I think it's a great goal.
That's what I'm hoping that will come out of this. If we can get a couple together on the west side of Cleveland, to me, that said, what can't we do?
Right.
We do? I'm not limiting ourselves. I know you won't.
I never do. I think the sky is the limit for what we're capable of.
So yeah. It was just another example of the power of the chat room. So right now, obviously, it's a little dormant, but love to see some people log on. But then again, people I've been talking to throughout the week, a lot of them have very busy schedules, and they will listen to us during the week when they have free time. So
right. That's why it's recorded. Yeah. That's why it's recorded.
So we're here for them. I mean, we understand.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, you can listen because I'm going to try this right now. You can actually listen to this show on your iPhone. Like you can listen to or what do you have?
You have BlackBerry.
I don't know about BlackBerry, but you can listen to the show if you just go to the radioshowonline.com and click on the listen stuff. And actually, I'm going to try it right now because that makes for great radio. But I know you can at least listen to the archive pieces because, like you were saying, every Sunday we put it back up online for people that want to download it. But I think you could even listen to the listen live. Let me just check to see if it's playing or
live
not.
On your iPhone.
By the live.
Way, listen to the listen live.
We can.
Just check.
Nice.
See if it's playing or
I'll live. Tell you what, we are making. Strides.
This is great radio.
We are making strides. As much as I like hearing us on the radio, there's the more I like hearing us like twice as much. Like hearing us talk and then hearing the iPhone rebroadcast it to the radio show.
Right.
Is to me even better.
At least we know that we're on.
We know that we're on. We don't know who's listening, but we know that we're on.
Baby steps, Jeff.
And I just got a note from my sister that said, thanks again, Jeff, for calling me at 1:30 last night to let me know that you met Randy at the Christmas Story House. I immediately started calling everyone in my phone book saying, because at that point I said, can I buy you a Guinness?
Yeah.
And he said, that'd be great. And I bought him a Guinness. Then I started calling everyone I know.
Yeah.
And particularly family first. Yeah. Cousins. You're not going to believe what I'm having a Guinness with. Now, some of them were asleep and they didn't really understand what I was saying. They were confused. They said, "You, Randy? Is he a relative? Who's Randy?
Jeff? You're Jeff? Who?
Now, who
are you?
Who's this? And who are you with?" There was a lot of.
What are you trying to sell me?
My call prompted more questions from them.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to look back years from now and be glad they knew live in the moment I was having a Guinness with Randy from Christmas Story. So nice. One of those things, they'll thank me later.
Well, my weekend was not as exciting as that. I unfortunately.
That's disappointing. Should we just skip it then? And
I know. Yeah. This is just going to be a radio show with Jeff now where Jeremy listens intently. What did Jeff do this weekend? I wish I could be like Jeff.
I'd listen to that show.
No, so Friday night went over to Lux over at West 65th and Detroit. That was a lot of fun. So we went there, and because they have like a really awesome happy hour, like Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. You can get 2-for-1 drinks, and you can get half-off pizzas, and it's a really good time. Although, this is kind of odd. So we sat outside on the patio, and there's like kind of a patio and a back section patio. It's like the patio for the patio. And so they see this back there, and Jen actually says, like, oh, this is she made some comment, and the hostess thought she was like trying, like, offended. She's like, oh no, this is a valid patio seat. Like, no, it's fine. I wasn't trying to mock it. But then our waiter, he was, you know, back there, and we made this comment like, oh, we had never been back in this section of the patio. He's like, oh yeah, this is like Narnia back here. And there's the lamppost, which is, it was a Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe reference, which is a really like, you know, kind of out there ref, not the type of thing that you would throw out there if you were a waiter.
Right.
You know, you try to want to keep things like a little more low. That was a little more out.
Kind of, that would give me a strange vibe.
Right.
It would upset me.
Jen had no idea what he was talking about, but I picked up the Narnia reference. But then he kept coming back to it. Like, he would come back to our table, and he would be like, hello, Narnians. And it was.
See, each time you do that, I would take away a percent of his tip.
I thought about doing that before. I'm not that big of a jerk that I haven't been able to pull that
but
off.
But you know that
but
I would.
You could. You could do
you.
It.
Thank you.
No, if you... Yeah, so you start off with like, well, it's like, you know, 10 singles or 20 singles or whatever on the table. And every time they do something wrong, like you take one away. I think that would, I think it would build up a lot
it's
of pressure.
It's like some sort of like a creep coefficient. Every time he comes over and creeps you out, you pull another. Maybe then he'll see that he's creeping you out and dollars are being removed.
He would probably spit in my food, though, which you
but
don't want to.
You wonder about that? I tell you what, I have dined out for work a good amount, too. Yeah. I've never sent something back. I've chopped it up and spread it out like a 5-year-old. I did that recently at a family dinner. It was just a horrible steak. And I still can't bring myself to send it back just because of the fear of what will come back in return. So I generally will chop it up. I'll utilize a napkin.
Yeah.
And I'll just spread it around. And I just had a dinner that was just miserable. But I still can't do that. I'd probably at some point have to, right?
What if they bring you like the entirely wrong thing? Like you order a steak and they bring you fish. And like you're deathly allergic to fish.
I'll eat it. And I'll go to the hospital.
I'll choke up. My throat's closing up.
I'll do whatever it takes not to cause any sort of distress or tension in the restaurant. No, I would obviously at that point. If it's clearly on, yesterday I got the wrong amount of change back from a restaurant. I'll speak up.
Right.
I do have some borders. But yeah, generally I just don't feel comfortable with that because you always hear these stories about these kitchens. Speaking of this, I heard over the weekend that they, if you Google this, and I don't know exactly what to Google, but some sort of organization surveyed all of the stadiums and arenas in the country in terms of their track records and the citations for food preparation.
Okay.
It's not good.
None of them are stadiums.
Cleveland was okay. But they were all way below par, and some were really bad. Cleveland's were okay, but I've always, you know, you go to those dollar dog nights at the Progressive Field, formerly Jacobs Field, and the volume of hot dogs. If they're moving 80,000 hot dogs, don't you kind of wonder if maybe each one's not being tended to the way it should?
Oh yeah, yeah. Here it is. That's on ESPN.com.
What's lurking in your stadium food?
I'll post it on our Facebook page.
Well, this is one of my favorite, you know, people generally can't handle. I've got some axioms of life. Is that the proper use of axiom?
Is it axiom? Axiom. I think it's three syllables.
I have some axioms. I have an axiom. Regardless, I have these things I think about to like Porky Pig it there. One of the things is people can't handle free things.
Yeah.
Do you ever go to a place when they're saying, hey, we're giving away free shirts to the first 50 people, and people lose their minds?
Yeah. Like, I've never had a t-shirt before.
No matter how cheap the product is, they immediately like lose all sense of reality, and they become – it turns into a mob scene.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's like a 50-cent plastic trinket, no matter what it is, people immediately will start lunging at people to get the free thing.
Right.
And it's unbelievable. So that's one of them. Another one is – people can't handle free things, also cheap things like these dollar hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You go to a dollar hot dog night. The first one I went to, I'll never forget, the ketchup, mustard, relish dispensing stands looked like they had been bombed. It was like a bunch of animals got these hot dogs and these coyotes went right over to the condiments and just started like taking them apart.
Coyotes do love condiments.
They were like animals. And I took a picture. I there was a previous phone.
Uh-huh.
I took a picture of the before and after. I only had the after.
Yeah.
Just mayhem.
Yeah.
And you got to wonder, people, you know, and the people, one lady was putting these hot dogs in her purse.
Yeah.
I mean,
do they limit you? Is there like,
well, they limit you
number
per time, but you can keep going back around in line. I mean,
okay. They don't like stamp your hand.
Right. You can do four per time, but people will just get back in line. And I mean, who's saying this is going to be a great day by doing
Was anyone
this?
Watching the game? Or was just everyone just goes at that?
I was transfixed. I just took a seat by the hot dog stands and just watched the chaos. There's nothing more I enjoy in life than just sitting back above chaos. We talked about the Little Italy feast.
Right.
I want to be above, like in a cage. That's my goal, is to be above chaos and just relaxing and watching people act like complete idiots.
What about this chaos?
I'm part of it too, so I'm kind of conflicted.
This one you're immersed in.
I'm immersed,
chaos.
Yet I want to be on the roof
right
of where we are right now. So it's really a struggle.
I want to do a callback to what we were talking about last week.
Yes.
We were talking about Tad Lincoln.
Tad Lincoln. Now, yes. You were skeptical there was a Tad Lincoln.
There was a Tad Lincoln.
But that was his middle name.
But Tad is his middle name. It was actually Thomas Tad Lincoln. He was only 18 years old when he died.
We're gonna give you a little history on this show, listeners. We're not going to, as we've always said, we're not going to stick to one topic. But I mentioned we had a writer. We had a lot of letters last week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And one of the writers was Tad. And then I immediately said, I think there was a Tad Lincoln.
Right. You mocked his name. Well, we were talking about the fact that either he's being cheated on or he's a cheater.
Because of his name being Tad. Like, how can you respect someone named Tad?
Right.
So what was your follow-up to this?
We got tons of protest letters from that show from Tads
all around the country. And I didn't realize how sensitive the people that are named Tad are.
Yeah.
They're apparently a sensitive group.
They are very sensitive.
A sensitive folk.
Yeah.
If you will. So yeah, I believe me, you know, we are not going to mock listener names. Here's my greatest fear. This woke me up in the middle of the night. What if a listener writes us?
This is your greatest
this
fear?
This is when I wake up and I get upset. I get nervous. What if a listener
Terrorism.
Writes us?
Terrorism.
No. That's going to be fine. That'll all work out. What if this listener writes us and he says, you know what? I'm not going to write Jeff and Jeremy because I saw what they did to Tad.
Yeah.
My name is Ezekiel, and I saw what they did to Tad. And imagine if they did that to Tad, what would they do to Ezekiel?
If your name is Ezekiel, I don't think you have a computer.
Okay, what if they did a fax? Like, we've received a lot of faxes.
we got a lot of faxes, yeah. I don't know.
But that's a fear of mine. So, listeners, going forward, you have my word and my commitment. And I'm going to speak for Jeremy. I don't usually speak for Jeremy.
No, speak for me.
We are not going to make fun of names, probably, you know, going forward.
Except for Nicole. Now, Nicole, if again, I just wanted to follow up because, see, on the Facebook page, we like to put up links and things that we've been talking about on the show. We were talking about Nicole speaking for Mr. Hero, and you were talking about the fact that she's now trying to hawk diabetes medication as well.
And how she's confusing our seniors. And our seniors have enough problems. We don't need them. I think the sum it up, we don't need them driving to Mr. Hero to get diabetes medication.
Right.
That also keeps me up at night. There are two things that keep me up at night.
old people and their diabetes medication.
Yeah, well, Nicole screwing them up.
Okay. It's just about Nicole.
Yeah, it's
and
about
leading
her,
people astray.
Her quest for the almighty dollar at the expense of our seniors. Mm.
That damn Nicole. Well, she does have a Facebook page as well. She's actually on our favorite pages.
Well, she is. And let me say this.
She probably has more fans than we do.
We're up to 180 fans, though, aren't we?
No, actually, she doesn't have that many more fans than we do. We could beat her. She has 52 fans.
Oh, we're up to 18. We got a zero wrong. We're up to 18 fans.
Yeah.
Now, can I say this is another goal for the radio show with Jeff and Jeremy?
Okay.
Let's get to 20. Again, these goals are very low.
Right.
Let's get to 20 next week, and maybe by the end of the year, get to 52.
I just want to beat Nicole. I just want to have more fans than Nicole.
I mean, this girl, like, how does she only have 52 fans when she's always on the radio? And why are you one of them?
She's even hawking. I'm not one of them.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I'm not one of them. Sure. No. See, I could, but
I'm
not.
Very upsetting. I thought you'd get liked.
I'm protesting.
Okay.
She's even hawking Mr. Hero on her Facebook page.
Does this woman know when to stop?
No.
I mean, does she, with her family, is she pushing medications, meds on them?
She's supposedly working on a show that will be aired on TV. All right, we're giving too much credit, Nicole.
She upsets me, and she upsets our seniors, and that upsets me.
Yeah, forget her. Uh-oh. Something's, Okay, we're fine.
We're back.
Everything's
on.
Fine. Okay. No, we were never off.
Okay.
Everything's okay.
After last week,
we're
I'm
too
a little,
paranoid
I'm a little
that every
skittish. Well, last week we had four different restarts of the show.
Yeah, I know.
So it was, hey, welcome to the Jeff and Jeremy show again.
No, we're still good. We're still
okay,
good.
Okay, fantastic. So that's our follow up. So was there a final point on Tad Lincoln?
No, that's it. Just
and Nicole?
Tad died at the age of 18.
Yeah.
And Nicole is a likes cash.
And Nicole is just
she's a sellout.
Ah, oh, she really is. How could you hire her and sleep
Nicole.
At night? It's all about sleeping at night on the show today.
Hey, it's Nicole.
Hey, it's Nicole. I'm going to hawk whatever someone gives me, any $5, she'll put it on the air.
I do want her to hawk the Jeff and Jeremy radio show, though, because maybe we could have some of those 52 fans.
I want a piece of Nicole's influence. So if we got a quarter of those 52 fans, it'd be worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
We share some of our fans. So anyway, that was a recap last week. If you didn't check it out, hopefully you can go. Because really, it's hard. We work in chronological order on the radio show with Jeff and Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
We build on each show.
Right.
So people who heard week one and listening now are probably so confused.
Right. Although I am scared that our listeners, at least the number of times the podcast was downloaded between episode one and two did drop.
It dropped. We are trending horribly down.
Right. At this rate, soon it will only be our 18th.
At this rate, Facebook, middle of October will be a distant memory, people.
Yeah.
So let's enjoy these moments while we have them.
Speaking of which, it's a beautiful day out there today.
Yeah, it really
the
is.
The humidity has finally cut back and... That's all
best
I
best time of year
that.
In Cleveland. I mean, there's no doubt from here on out through October, best time of year.
Until the snow hits, until it reaches the freezing point.
But you know what, Cleveland? We're going to get you through this winter if someone listens.
Well, think of us as the warm slanket that you can wear. That's how you should picture us. Think of us as your slanket.
We are going to be there for you in the winter when no one else is.
Right.
Covering the things that people don't want to talk about.
Exactly.
So now let's get into one thing I want to talk about up front, because now it's the middle, it's early in the show, it's actually halfway through the show.
Halfway through, yeah.
I want to cover this because the Browns are the NFL team in Cleveland for our national listeners.
Right.
And
we haven't heard of the Browns.
We have this NFL team in Cleveland, and they've been playing these preseason games, and they're starting the regular season a week from Sunday, I believe. 2 weeks from Sunday, I'm sorry, is the regular season start.
Uh-huh.
2 weeks from today.
Okay.
To get people ready for this, I've learned some things along the years which I wish people would have told me. Two things in particular. Number one, when you're going to the stadium, I would really stay away from the draft beer. Did we talk about this last week?
I don't think so.
Okay. they tend to, the guys I'm with season tickets with, we tend to learn this the hard way. They tend to not, that stadium is used 10 times a year, which is a great use of a $350 million stadium.
Right, lakefront property.
We'll use it 10 times a year. That was very, very good decision. But the taps don't necessarily get quote-unquote cleaned. Mm. So we all had draft beer a couple years ago in the first game.
Yeah.
The next day we were all very ill. And we're all convinced it was because we all had draft beer.
So what happened? I mean, I've heard this before. So they don't clean a tap, but it's not like people are putting their mouths on the tap.
No, but
what
bacteria,
happens?
Bacteria, just because of the beer went through the lines.
From stale beer grows bacteria?
Particularly when they're not used. Hmm. So they may clean them out, but still, it's never the same. So I have a friend whose dad worked in the beer business, and he always says, I only drink bottled beer after – hear what my dad said about taps.
Yeah.
So, but particularly at Browns games, do yourself a favor. Listen to a radio show with Jeff and Jeremy. Go with the cans. There's plenty of vendors there selling the 16-ounce cans, 24-ounce cans. Always a safe bet.
What about the cans? What about, you know, if they're sitting there? You actually have to put your mouth on the can that might have been sitting out there.
Well, you could, but also I'll just get a plastic glass and pour it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And you can sort of mitigate it that way. I've thought of everything. I wear gloves and an oxygen mask. I wear a spacesuit to most Browns games, and I walk away feeling very clean.
You pour out your beer through like a filter that filters out all the time. You basically drink water when it's all done. It just filters
out
all the alcohol.
I'm like the bubble boy at the Browns game.
Yeah.
There's nothing's going to affect me. No impurities. I'm like an angel at the Browns games.
Like an angel? Because you're so pure?
Yes,
is that what you're going with that
exactly
one?
That's the angle I'm going for. But also, I should talk about this too. We can talk about this next week a little bit. Well, I'm all over the place.
Let's try to stay focused here.
Let me finish my Browns take. So that's take number one. Are we clear to summarize?
Okay, yeah, got
that.
Don't
drink draft beer.
Don't drink draft beer, especially at the stadium. What about restaurants? Do you drink draft beer at restaurants?
I tend not to, whenever possible. I'm a bottle guy. I just I feel like there's downside there I don't want to get into.
Even somewhere that's like Great Lakes, someplace that's kind of not?
Occasionally, but I really try not to.
Hmm, okay.
But now, number two.
Continue.
You know how some of these news people, and this will relate to the Browns eventually.
Okay.
When Ted Henry retired, it was like we lost a legend, the city lost an icon.
Yes.
And for people who don't know, Ted Henry was a newscaster on our ABC affiliate. Very plastic hair, very...
It was like blonde. He was like old. Like, you don't see a lot of people with like blonde hair. It was kind of Donald Trumpish color.
He was very artificial looking, very... Yeah, he would look the same for 30 years.
Yeah, I saw him in person. I saw him in person once, and blew my mind because you're not expecting that.
They just sort of adapt, and they have who knows what. Yeah. Anyway, he retires. It's like we're losing. Like, how can the city go on? Mm-hmm. Now, here's my thing. All these guys do is read a teleprompter.
Right.
Like what? Why are we so?
And they get paid a lot of money for that. He was I don't know, but I would guess based on what I know, some other anchors were making. Like I know Ramona Robinson
a few years
back was pulling down $400,000 a year.
Yep.
I mean, so I bet he was making $500,000.
Why do we treat them like they read words on a teleprompter, which you and I could do?
Right.
This always bothers me. So this is the background. Why we treat these newscasts like they're in parades?
Well, I think
they're in convertibles.
It just comes from it's kind of the way like it's always been, like when television first started and there were just three stations and that was like television and you had your three. You didn't have all the internet. You didn't have podcasts. Yeah. Like now you and I can do.
We could do the news.
We could do that. I wasn't going to go that far, but we can give them a watered down version of Ted Henry.
Yes.
You know, so people can get their news from other sources. But that used to be the way, and these people were put up on a pedestal for reading a teleprompter.
I know, but you know, they're in parades. They're like the city celebrities, right?
Right.
And they're probably these people that they're very fluent. They're good readers.
I mock them, but if I was one of them, I would just shut my mouth. If I was getting paid $500,000 a year to read a teleprompter, I'd be like, okay, I'll ride in your parade.
Back to my Browns take. So Mark Nolan always comes out after the first drive.
He's a good guy.
At Browns Stadium. Well, sorry.
Okay.
He comes out after the first drive and he does the weather. And it's like all about him. He does this like very catchy intro.
Does he still do the weather though? Because he's been a morning anchor.
Well,
he's
at the Browns games.
Okay.
It all goes back to these guys with their egos. So he comes in, does like a Cleveland Brown, like he does a little yell. Hey, it's me, Mark Nolan. And
But you have to do that. You can't just go out there. Hey guys, Mark Nolan. Thanks for coming to the
stadium.
See,
I would respect him more if he did that. But my group, we always boo him as loud as we can because we get annoyed with it's all about Mark Nolan. I want it to be about the weather. So like what gives him the right? He expects us to like collectively fillet him at these games.
Collectively what? Is that an expression? Fellate, as in the, I don't even know what that is. The singular of fellatio? Is that what you're going for here?
All I know is he expects everyone to just bow down.
I love how you invent words on Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy.
I'm encouraging people to boo Mark Nolan because it's not about you, Mark. It's about the chance of precipitation.
I mean, you have to go out there, and I don't know. I think you're being a little hard on the guy.
Just say, hey, here's the weather. Here's the weather, Cleveland. It's going to be sunny and 70. Go Browns.
Cleveland.
He does like a little song, a little dance, like a jig. He does a jig.
Right. Yeah. I don't think he does a jig.
Well, I saw it. I couldn't see. Right.
Maybe he moves his hands a little bit.
There was some movement.
I don't even know why we have weathercasters anymore. That's one that I don't – it goes with your whole news thing. Anchors are one thing, but why do we have weather forecasters? Again, when there was television and there was just three stations and they would like tease the weather and you'd be like, oh, I can't turn away from this television because there's going to be a they're not going to tell me the weather until they're not going to tell me the weather until, you know, 15 minutes in, and I have to keep watching the show to see what the weather's. But now, again, with the internet, you can pull up things on your phone. You can like see your own radar
and even the intranet.
Yeah.
Either way, you can see radar. You can see weather. You can see news.
What did you say?
The intranet.
The intranet.
Yeah, okay. both ways. Internet. Intranet. Yeah. You can see it either way. But yeah, there's no need for these things. But this was from another time when there wasn't these other alternatives. So I think at some point you're going to see the ending of the local news. And I will be cheering on the sidelines.
That's your prediction?
That's my goal.
as they go up. Well, I mean, there will always be people giving news locally.
Yeah, but we don't.
Maybe, just different formats.
Maybe in a commercial setting.
Maybe people like us doing podcasts that aren't getting any money.
I think their demise is going to really accelerate our rise.
Right.
We're going to feed off
their corpses.
Well, I wasn't like no, vultures. I wasn't going to go there.
We're going to peck their dying
eyes
out.
We're
going to
feed off their misfortune.
I like corpses.
That's going to fuel us.
I like corpses
better.
I like the idea of us being like vultures pecking their eyes out, pecking Ramona Robinson's eyeballs out of her skin. That's a visual I like.
That's why we're not on TV, Jeff. Just on radio, internet.
Right.
So
it's theater of the mind.
We're halfway through the show. Do you believe it?
I don't.
It goes back to the thing. I don't think we need other people involved in the show.
Again, it should just be us. We were talking about guests. But
I think that would take away from our banter.
Yeah, yeah. It should just be all about us.
We have
a
very tight schedule we lay out. And we have production meetings at 5 in the morning for the show.
We do start early.
I mean, so much goes into this. And we had a mailbag question about our prep time, which I'll get into later.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we have we call it a host banter.
Right.
It's supposed to be about 4 minutes. Right. We just blew the whole schedule.
Not a half hour. Yeah, we do have to try to stay on schedule a little bit better, I guess.
I really do. Now, do you want to go maybe talk about some of the things this weekend? You mentioned the Glenn Beck rallies because people do want to hear about some of the stuff. They want to hear our views.
Yeah, I don't understand because they're not relying on local news anymore. They're relying
on us. We established that.
So this is it. Yeah, I guess Glenn Beck, which, you know, love him or hate him, he had some rally yesterday over in Washington, D.C., and it was kind of like a whole Get Back to Morals rally, which is just kind of his rallying cry. You know, I don't know if he really cares, but it's a great way for him to make more money, you know. But there seemed to be a lot of controversy on the number of people that actually showed up for the rally, and he kind of called it ahead of time, you know. They're going to underreport the number of people that went to my rally. So I guess CBS said that there was about 87,000 in attendance, which is good. If we held a rally and 87,000 people showed up, I would be proud of those.
If we had three people at our rally, I would be so happy. I would go home saying, "What a success!"
If we had one guy come in and buy us a beer,
I'd say our job here is done.
Done. Mission accomplished. So CBS said 87,000. Then Fox News said it was over 500,000, which seems to be a pretty big disparity.
A bit of a gap there.
Yeah.
A bit of a gap.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if it was a conspiracy. I don't think it was a conspiracy. I don't think there was a meeting at CBS saying, how can we underreport these numbers? Yeah. I just think maybe there was, you know, different methodologies.
Yeah, I agree. And there are, let's admit, there are biases, I think.
Yeah, but does it make you count less? Like, if there was a rally of a group in Cleveland that I just despised, I love so many people, but I don't know, some group that you didn't support and it was your job to go count them, would it affect like the way that you counted, being like, well, I don't like you guys, so I'm just going to count every other person.
Well, I don't think that's apples to apples. I think a rally like this had national coverage, national significance. And I think that really, if you had a bias against him, you could really downplay it, because there is a huge gap from 88,000, 87,000 to 500.
Yeah.
So I think that they could, if they want to sort of discredit it nationally, oh yeah, there wasn't even 100,000 people there when there's really 500. I think there is a that would show a potential bias. We may have to agree. This might be the first time we're agreeing to disagree.
We agree to disagree.
Should we just quit the show now?
So how many people do you think were there?
I would say...
What is your... Okay, so you weren't there. You haven't seen any pictures or read any news reports.
From the Christmas Story. Do you want me to get Randy on the phone to verify my whereabouts?
You should get Randy. What's he doing right now? He's just sitting out in the
house?
In
that creepy
house. In his bunny suit?
Yeah. Just remembering that one movie he made. No, here's this is my theory in life in general. I think the truth is usually in the middle.
Yes. So 87,000.
So I think give me the math on that. I would say then basically about 300,000. Was
okay.
The actual number.
Okay.
And I'm gonna actually say that's the fact. That's actually what.
So Jeff and Jeremy, should we report that?
We just validated that scientifically.
Yeah.
Need to post that right now.
I'm gonna post it right now. Radio show with Jeff and Jeremy reports official count. At Glenn Beck rally to be, what do you say?
Exactly 300,000.
Exactly 300,000 people.
I tell you, this chat room is just a flutter.
Yeah, it is a quiver. There's that guy is in there. We haven't, so that guy, he's just kind of a lurker. He's not contributing a lot. He's just kind of hanging out, listening to the words that we say. Yeah. He's in here. Okay. He's in here listening. He might not even be listening to us, though. He might just be sitting there in the chat room lurking, waiting for a female
to take our show
to approach it. Yeah,
that's my fear. That's another fear I have.
Radio show with that guy. You have a lot of fears.
I do. It's very hard to be me.
But you're not afraid of the big things.
No, it's the little things.
Yeah,
it's the little things that I really worry about. That's really the important thing. That's a great role model.
The little things terrify you.
The little things. So anyway, so that is the Glenn Beck. We covered that.
We got next. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is 15 years old. Have you been to the Rock Hall yet?
Maybe twice in 15 years, which I'm not proud of.
Yeah. But, you know, with all those things, I mean, that happens in cities big and small. You don't go to the touristy things in your own city.
And you generally only go when you have people in from out of town. That's
right.
Where I find I go.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Want to go.
I think I went. Yeah, there was some event there, some, you know, something that went on. But
do you remember growing up, as we did on the west side of Cleveland, I remember hearing about the Rock Hall for years before it was actually built.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember my dad had a t-shirt of like 84 Cleveland Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Really?
Was,
that
oh,
letter?
Yeah, because it was awarded, I think, 12 years before it was actually built.
Huh.
And there was all these problems with how are they going to build it, the money and where. And
yeah, that's weird. So you're saying that some construction project took a long time to plan in Cleveland?
Changed.
Yeah, I can't imagine that
Cleveland
happening.
Usually just fast-tracks projects. There's no bureaucracy.
Yeah, yeah. If that's one thing that people say about the city is like, wow, it is so easy to get things done there in Cleveland.
Well, speaking of Cleveland, too, I'm afraid where's Little John been lately?
I think he's dead.
I think Jimmy DeMora might have eaten him. he's not around anymore.
Jimmy DeMora ate Little John, is what you're saying, huh?
Post it.
That's Jeff. Yeah.
No, okay, let's confirm update. That before we post it.
Unconfirmed rumor.
Unconfirmed. Because I worry about Little John. I think we all do. See, another thing I worry about. There's no way I can sleep at night with the weight of the world on my shoulders. And it's posted.
And done. Fact.
So, yeah. So the Rock Hall. But I will say this about the Rock Hall, which I'm very encouraged about. They're having more summer concerts in front of the Rock Hall, which are free, which is a great way to utilize the area, create some interest, and they're free. I know people have gone down there. I've not been there, but have you seen these going on?
Yeah, you know, and I think the problem is it's not as much of the regular urban fabric as some other places are. Like, it's really sad. Like, if you go there and you're like, oh, I'm going to go to the Rock Hall for lunch, where are you going to go to eat that's within walking distance of the Rock Hall?
No, it's on an island almost. You have to go up East 9th.
Yeah, which seems very far because you have to cross a highway and a set of railroad
really
tracks.
And go to the Harp, you have to go on the Shoreway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's close, but it's not close.
Yeah, it's close if you have a car, but as far as like walking
to
things.
There is a cafe at the Rock Hall, which is delicious.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Turkey sandwich is unbelievable.
So one of the two times you've been there, you actually stopped at the Rock Hall
Cafe?
Yeah,
and I made an impression. Hmm. It was unbelievable. I try to go there just for lunch sometimes. I don't even go to the museum.
You just go to the Rock Hall Cafe for lunch. Across the street, there's the U.S. Coast Guard station is across the street, and if they could like tear that down and you know build something like at least maybe a restaurant, a couple shops.
What about
or
all the boats that are in trouble?
No, but I mean, the only reason that the only thing the Coast Guard needs is lake access. They don't need to be right next to the Rock Hall.
You be
they
can
be kind
of
anywhere
downtown?
On the lake.
Are you
no.
saying that was poor planning?
Yeah. Again, hard to believe in Cleveland, but yeah, poor planning.
You mean, are you saying that salt mine in the middle, right on the lake by the stadium, that was a bad idea?
Yeah.
Oh, see, this is shocking to me.
I know.
I
know.
We have to change topics.
I think you and I should single-handedly revamp our lakefront.
Yep. Yep.
That should be our next project after we reach after we beat Nicole and Facebook fans. Our next project should be taking on the Cleveland lakefront.
Well, that's a good goal for the fall.
Right. When it gets a little cooler out.
And then you mentioned an article about, which I saw the picture about, some strippers in front of a church.
Yeah, this was kind of interesting. So again, speaking of Fox News, there's a strip club down in Warsaw, Ohio, which is about 60 miles outside of Columbus. And so people from this New Beginnings ministry, they went out to protest people going to the strip club. And they were doing things like taking pictures of license plates that were there and sending people to their Facebook page and things like that, saying, look at all these guys are, you know, showing up here. So the strippers decided to go and protest the church. I don't know if they were doing the same thing, like taking pictures like, ooh, look who went to church on Sunday. We have all their license plates here. But I thought the article was funny that said, the strippers, fueled by Cheetos and nicotine, are protesting a fundamentalist Christian church. Fueled by Cheetos and nicotine. I thought that was an interesting...
Is that a short-term, like a energy spike? Like, that's not going to, I think, give you energy for a day of protest.
No, I think if you're going to be out protesting outside a church, standing up, holding these signs... You need something a little more substantial, maybe at least some oatmeal and some fruit.
Yeah.
Because the Cheetos and nicotine, you're gonna crash. I mean, that's a good upper.
But you're gonna have a hell of a 10 minutes.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you're gonna be cursing everything.
Right.
I mean, it's gonna be intense. And then you're just gonna What about people that don't see that 10 minutes?
Yeah, it's gonna be a very short-lived protest.
Yeah. But then again, they got that picture out, and then maybe that's gonna send a message.
Yeah, the picture on Fox News is a pretty scary one. I'll post that on our Facebook page as well, because that's what I've been doing all day, is just taking links, things that we talk about, and posting them on our Facebook page.
Yeah, it's really what's what the listeners expect.
Right.
So we do have a mailbag here. I feel like it's overflowing.
Mailbag. Oh, another woman from the church waited on the protesters with plates of noodles and chocolate cake.
Can we get a dietitian to assist them? I feel like if they're really serious about this protest, they need to get a health expert. To give them some tips.
There's quite a menu they have
the sugar,
going on
the
here.
The sugar is very, they're very high on sugar items.
Nicotine, Cheetos, noodles, and chocolate cake. It's a lot of empty carbs
That's a recipe that's not going to work for the long term.
Yeah, they really need some more complex carbohydrates or possibly some
fruit. I agree with fruits and vegetables. Something, maybe a farmer's market they could protest.
We should go out there and bring them like steamed broccoli.
What if they go hit a farmer's market, do a little protesting there.
Yeah.
Buy some produce and then go to protest a church. It'd be a nice day.
Yeah. It looks like from the picture that, yeah, their diet hasn't been the most healthy
thing.
No,
they probably shouldn't be wearing some of what they're wearing.
No.
Probably not the best idea.
Definitely not cut out for their
All right. Let's get to this mailbag. It is overflowing.
Mailbag. Do we have a mailbag song? I'm going to make one up right now.
Play it.
Jeff and Jeremy Show Mailbag.
There we go. Thank you for that intro. You know, we receive so many items in the mail, and I think I mentioned the fax has been great, that it's hard to, we have to sort it all out, right?
Right.
We'd love to read all these letters.
Lots of stuff to go through.
We'd love to read them. But
we need an intern, actually, to sort through all
this
stuff.
And actually, we're working on, we are trying to hire, it'd be great if you want to.
Oh yeah.
Inquire within. I think we could use some administrative help.
Yeah, you can always send an email. If you want to be part of the mailbag segment, you can send an email to hatemail@radioshowonline.com.
Or just for anything, you can use that email.
And if we read your letter on the air, you get a Corvette.
You will get a Corvette.
Yep.
You will win a Corvette, and it's actually outside of my house right now.
Yep.
Now, you may remember from last week, we had a Sentra we were giving away.
You might have a problem transferring the title or getting the keys, but it's yours.
But it's out front, and if you can figure out how to get into it, we are going to send you off.
Yep.
And then you can thank Jeff and Jeremy for that.
Yep.
Now, we did a Sentra last week. We've gone a long way from the Sentra.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've had an increase in viewership, so...
Well, that we went from 16 to 18 fans on Facebook. That really propelled us.
Yes. That's a big increase.
There's a lot of weight behind that. So, dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy.
That's us.
And they're very formal when they write this out. Your show...
We're a formal show.
We are. We like rules. Your show Sunday morning is the highlight of my week.
Wow.
Let me just say, that means a lot.
Now, I'm a little...
That's why I started out the letter.
I'm a little concerned because Sunday's the beginning of the week. So at 11 a.m. on Sunday, you probably haven't had a lot of highlights. Probably like cup of coffee in our show.
It does not portend well for the rest of their week.
Right. But, you know, it's good nonetheless.
But, you know, we're bringing some joy to people. But so the fact you start off the letter, your show Sunday morning is a highlight of my week. Appreciate that a lot.
And then who's this from?
This is from Fran. I'm not sure if that's Fran, a woman, or a man.
Why do we have people with bad names listening to the show?
Like a lot of names where you're not sure how that can go.
Tad and Fran.
Fran and Avon Lake.
Hmm.
She said it sounds like he or she.
I think that's a girl. Is male?
It's a Fran. Yeah, it's a Fran. It could be a guy.
Okay.
It sounds like you guys must prep at least 10 hours for the show.
Yeah.
How do you fit it in with your regular jobs and your busy social life?
Mm,
and Fran, thank you. That's a great question.
That is a great question. Well, here's what happens, Fran. So on Saturday night, you know, most of the social stories that we make up are just lies. And anything you hear about girlfriends or going out, that pretty much is all made up. Unlike the letters which we receive, which are absolutely true from actual
listeners. Those are true. Now, that's one thing we would never jeopardize.
Those are true. Social life stories, not true. Jeff and I are really two unemployed guys that are squatting in a house in Tremont.
Yep. And that day, we just took it over.
Right. So pretty much our life revolves around stealing fruit from the Tremont Farmers Market, trying to, you know, just scraping by to survive, and then doing this radio show every Sunday morning. So when you're unemployed and starving, and the only thing that brings joy to your life is doing a netcast, it's a really great way to focus. And it kind of gives us that laser precision that we need to create this great podcast for you every week.
It is. So Fran, 10 hours doesn't even – you think 10 hours – Fran, let me say this. 10 hours cover the first 10 minutes, my friend. So please. I mean, I appreciate you like it, but believe me, the prep on the show is incredible. But thank you for listening, and definitely hope to hear from you again.
And send food, please.
Send food. Send medical supplies. Whatever you can do. Pretend it's like an airdrop. Can they airdrop things in here?
Some weird case of gout on my left toe.
Maybe a thing of rice. Yeah. Just a big bundle of rice.
We should go down south to the strippers and steal their Cheetos and nicotine and noodles and chocolate cake.
But that would last just enough for an hour show. We'd be on fire.
Yeah.
And then we would just collapse at noon.
Right. Which is all we do. That's all we need is an hour, Jeff.
But and also, I think we said this last week, we want to hear from our listeners regularly. Fran, follow up with us. Let us know how you're doing in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We're not short-term here. We want to hear how you're doing.
Right. We're not about what's just happening today. We're about building a relationship for a lifetime.
So keep in touch, Fran. Hope to hear from you. Another letter. Dear Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, I've listened to a lot of radio shows on the internet, and I have to say yours is by far the best.
I'm not sure how to take that
so much.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You're offended.
Well, you know, I mean, that's he was very specific about internet. If he would have been, I've listened to a lot of audio presentations, terrestrial radio, maybe some radio mystery theater, audio books, closing my eyes and just listening to like Shakespeare being read in the park. And of all those things that I've ever heard, Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy is one of the most spiritually enlightening. Yeah. See what I did there?
I see
he kind of put us in a corner. Yeah. I mean, granted,
and what have we always said? Don't put us in a corner.
Don't put us in a corner.
Because we will attack you.
Like a wild dog.
Like a newscaster's corpse.
Yeah, so I don't like how he put us in a corner, but I do appreciate that. I love how people just write in just how awesome we are.
I appreciate it. So I'll read it again. I've heard a lot of radio shows on the internet. Yours is by far the best. And then he says, this is Pam. This is clearly
Pam.
A woman.
Right.
Pam in Bedford.
Another, not a great name, though.
Not a great name. Our listeners don't have the best names.
No.
I would pay to subscribe when you guys get popular, which again, I appreciate a lot. That's nice.
Yeah,
what's going to happen?
We are working on a model, so pick up these while you can and record them, you know, sell them as bootlegs. Right now, we don't care, but in a couple weeks, we're going to start charging. I think we were talking somewhere between $5 and $10 an episode.
Per half hour.
Oh, per half hour? Like, kind of like, yeah.
That's the way they don't know they're paying so much.
Yeah. So it might be like $6 per half hour, but maybe if you buy the full hour, it's 10, like you get a discount.
Yeah, well, because we're gonna try and work with you guys.
Yeah, once we start doing that, if we hear of any bootlegs, we will send our lawyers after you. So don't mess with us after that. I mean, now take what you want for now. Enjoy it while you can now. But in a couple weeks, we're going to be coming down hard on you.
Yeah, so get ready. Get those credit cards out.
Get those credit cards ready.
So anyway, so Pam, obviously, was that her whole note? I guess that was it. Wow.
As I said, these are very short.
It's so Pam, get ready to pay.
It's not Twitter, people. You can email us and write more than you can.
Now, we did have one more letter, and this is from Brian H. in Munson. And Munson and Willoughby, I'm not sure exactly.
You're getting lots of activity on your phone today, Jeff.
Well, no, it came in on my phone.
Okay.
So I'm reading this one on
my phone.
Okay,
cool. Are you giving out your stuff, like your phone number publicly? Is that what's happening?
Occasionally.
Okay.
Just for these listeners, for these diehard listeners.
Yeah.
He wants to know about our take on the whole Ground Zero mosque problem.
So let's switch
gears. Your headphones
gears.
Just fell off.
Let's switch gears
they
here.
They literally knocked your headphones off.
Really? He really wants to know
he
that?
He really does. And then to prove how he can Google up some terms, he wanted to show us that he's kind of smart.
Yeah.
He said, is the Iman pro or anti-American, and does he favor Sharia law? So obviously Brian can Google. He proved us that. He wants to show us he's an informed writer. Brian, now listen, we all know that Sharia law is Islamic law constructed more than a millennium ago, and that it's really now entirely obsolete in the context of modern society. We all know that, Brian. So I appreciate you trying to kind of get over our heads, but we're on the same page here. Here's what's going on.
He's trying to get a fast one by us,
Yeah,
Jeff.
Come on. We all know Sharia law. I mean,
Sharia law, yeah.
I think we're all on the same page. But right. It's really – here's my take on this. I see it as a battle between the constitutionally protected right of freedom of religion versus some families that are very upset – about the whole the Muslim connection with 9/11 being so close to Ground Zero. There's a lot of emotions involved.
Sure.
And they feel it's kind of insulting.
Yeah.
So I guess my take is I think it's extremely controversial, and I think there's good points on both sides. What do you think?
I'm just going to go ahead and agree with everything that you said.
Okay. So that's our take, Brian.
Yeah. That's our official take.
And again, Brian, don't ever try and act like you're smarter than us.
Yeah, please.
Because we'll prove you wrong.
Don't try to slip one by us. We had to get up pretty early in the morning.
Pretty early. I mean, Sharia law.
You got to smoke a lot of cigarettes and eat a lot of Cheetos
to get
anything by us.
These two. So that's the mailbag. Again, appreciate that. Thank you very much. Some good topics, I thought.
It was good stuff. Jeff, it's getting to be that time.
Yeah, we're close to wrapping up here.
Yeah, we have to wrap up. Anything else? Any other last minute things you want to say?
You know, we do have some a segment called Chuckleheads in the News.
Chuckleheads in the News.
Do we want to get into that?
Do we steal that one? We have time. We got about 5 minutes.
Okay, let's get into it. It's a segment we've come up with. Now, no radio show has ever done this.
No, this is brand new.
What we're basically doing is taking some stupid criminal stories, people that try and do things, robberies, things like that, and they end up getting caught very easily.
Okay. So you want to start?
I'll start this first one. It's about an Illinois bank robber. It says, the Illinois bank robber left too many clues. The woman who was the robber handed the bank teller a note demanding cash, but it was written on the back of a prescription with her name on it.
Mm.
After getting the money, she left her debit card on the counter. So I like the 1-2 punch of really the debit card on the counter and the prescription with her name on it. Police found her in less than 40 minutes.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a ransom note, I mean, I don't want to encourage bank robberies, but I've heard of this happening where they use their deposit slips with their names on it. I mean, this is just what a chucklehead in the news.
What a chucklehead indeed. I would think that these days, like, bank robberies would be one of the most ineffective ways to rob people.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was like 1850 and you wanted to pull up with your friends on a bunch of horses and go in there shooting and grab a bag of coin, but everything's like digital these days anyways. And do they think like a security camera's not going to catch? I mean, it's a bank.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit more locked down.
Yeah. There's other ways to get money.
Yeah.
So we're encouraging our listeners, don't rob a bank.
Right. Don't rob a bank. All right. Let me read the next one here. So a drunk Florida man who decided to take a bath in a fountain at a public park. All right. We've all been there.
I mean, well, actually, particularly with our squatting situation, that's how we rely on hygiene.
Exactly. Exactly. We can definitely relate to this. Are they sure this was in Florida and not in Tremont? Police were called to the scene after a number of people complained and found the man covered in soap. He was arrested.
I like the fact that he did have soap.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a dunk in water and then getting out.
And what we do is we wait till after dark. You don't want to do this kind of thing in the middle of the day. No. It's hot and everything.
And I usually go for a bird bath.
Yeah.
Something that's a little less obvious.
Yes. I take some water in my mouth, spit it in the air. We spit it onto each other.
Okay,
actually,
I'm out.
I'm out.
I'm out of the show.
Done.
I'm out of this
topic. Jeff, why is Jeff leaving?
Jeremy just went too far.
All right, we got time for one more.
We are under the gun here. This is a good one. Police said a man who had been drinking alcohol all day to celebrate his release from prison crashed his bicycle into a railroad crossing gate in Indiana. The train stopped to check on the man who was on the ground next to the tracks. Police said the man was drunk, and he told officers he had been trying to beat the train but didn't know how he wound up on the ground.
I could get a pretty good guess as how he ended up on the ground.
But I love you. Celebrate your release from prison with a drunk bicycle ride to beat a train.
Yeah, well, you know,
and
sometimes...
the train didn't even beat him. The signal came down and beat him.
Sometimes when you're drinking. So he was hit by the gate?
That's my impression, yes. He was on the ground. Yes, he drove it into a railroad crossing gate.
And then that just stopped.
And then he passed. He blacked out.
He didn't crash through the gate.
No, the gate pushed him back.
Hit. Stop.
Lost consciousness. Train checks on him. So he was trying to celebrate his release from prison.
Again, we've all been there.
I mean, that's a chucklehead in the news.
That is a chucklehead indeed.
So that's, I think that, boy, Jeremy, great show. Can we congratulate ourselves?
Yeah, nice work.
I mean,
nice
this
work.
Is really top notch.
Nice work. Yeah, so that wraps it up for episode 3. Be sure to check out radioshowonline.com if you missed a show, if you want to, you know, put it on your iPod, listen to it. Because we understand Sunday mornings, 11 a.m., not everyone can make it.
Yeah.
If you can, we appreciate you being here. So check out our website, check out our Facebook page, and I guess we'll be here next Sunday.
We'll be here next Sunday, Labor Day weekend.
Wow.
Air show in town. I mean, think of the hijinks that are going to come out of that. We're going to have a lot of material.
It's going to be good stuff, guys. So everyone, thank you for listening. Tell your friends for a radio show with Jeff and Jeremy. This is Jeremy.
This is Jeff. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.